The Gospel according to John, chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves and the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? A door. Yeah, you know, we use them all the time. You know, you used one this morning, you know, to get out of your house and to come into the room here. You know, a door. Let you in. I'll let you out. You're outside. It's been a wet and rainy day. And it's cold. And now you're drenched, you're soaked, and you can't wait for the warmth of your home. And so you come home, and there's the door. And you go in. And waiting for you are dry clothes. There's a hot cup of coffee. Your favorite comfy chair. You know, how wonderful, you know, to be able to come in through that door. In from the outside. In from the wet and cold. In to that wonderfully inviting place. Being on the outside, physically or spiritually, is not easy. And yet everyone born into this world is born on the outside. Some are in places where they're able to take a peek in once in a while. They're able to take a peek in to the warmth and grace and joy and love of God's household. But others don't live in places where they get to do that. But still, within their heart is a hope that there's something better. Something better than what they know in the world as they live it day in and day out. Sin has the people of the world, in its grip. And it has them on the outs with God. They're outside of His love and favor, of His warmth and grace. The sin of our first parents is the cause of that. The cause that everyone born into this world is born in sin and born on the outside of God's love and favor. Yet, there's hope, isn't there? Because God makes it very clear that there's a way in. And that way in recognizes that there's a cause for people to be on the outs with God. It recognizes that not only are the sin of our first parents, but their own personal sins, have added, as it were, to that barrier between them and God. They live away. They live outside. Away from truth. Away from joy. Away from light. Away from grace. Away from hope. Away from the smile of God. But Jesus tells us there's a door in. A God-provided door. And that door is Jesus Himself. And we heard it in verse 7 of this text, and we hear it again in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Saved. That's a joyful word for us as Christians. We know we needed to be saved. We know that we were lost. We know that we were in darkness and under the power of death and sin. But so often the world uses that word with a sneer in their voice, as if they're mocking the very idea that everything isn't just fine and dandy in their lives. What do they need to be saved from? Well, the reality tells a very different story, doesn't it? On Tuesday night, Art and Carmen and I were at the meeting of the Community Lions Club here in East Haddam, and Tony McCabe, the director of Youth and Family Services, was there, and the numbers, of the self-reporting from young people are staggering. Here in our own community in East Haddam, it's not the community for all of you, but 5% of our middle schoolers and high schoolers self-report that they have attempted suicide. That's an incredible number, isn't it? There's not a lot of kids in middle school and high school, and yet that's 50 or more kids who've tried to take their own lives. The depression, the anxiety, the drug abuse, the overindulgence of alcohol, they all speak to the fact that it's a lie to think that everything's fine. What do I need to be saved from? We know in some deep down kind of way that our lives are a mess. The world knows that. But whether or not the toll is evident, in the lives and how people live their lives, the Bible is very clear. Jesus said earlier in the Gospel of John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. condemnation. We like to deny that it's there, that God already has condemned the world and all who are in it, apart from those who belong to Jesus. But that's the reality. But the reality is also that there's a door. Jesus is that door. I am the door out of sin, the door in to the household of God, the door out of condemnation, the door in to a warm welcome from God and his smiling face, a door in to his love, to his life, to his peace, to his hope. See, Jesus uses this very simple picture to tell us that we need to take a move. We need to take a step. We need to move from the outside to the inside. We can't do it completely on our own. We can't do it at all on our own. But the grace of God in Christ is there at work in the lives of those whom God is calling to himself. And he's calling them to the door, calling them to Jesus, calling them to come in. To come in out of the cold and the wet, to come in out of the wrath and the condemnation, to come in to that place of grace and life. Jesus is a door of welcome, a door that invites. You know, some doors look foreboding. You know, you don't want to take a step through. Others look really welcoming. And that's the kind of door that Jesus is, a door that welcomes, a door that says, come to me, you know, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, as he tells us about himself, the door, makes it clear that he's also a door of safety. John 10 is all about sheep and the sheepfold, and shepherds, and those who want to come in by some other way and rob and steal and murder the sheep. Verse 9 is about Jesus, the door of entrance. You know, how do you get to become a sheep? How do you get to be part of the flock? Well, the doorway into the flock is Jesus. But verse 7, Jesus uses that image of the door again. He says there, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. The door of the sheep. See, he's using that picture of the sheepfold, that corral, you know, that confined space, that fenced-in area, you know, where the sheep are kept sometimes at night. They're kept there not as a prison, not to lock them away, you know, from the green pastures and the still waters, but they're kept there for safety. It's a place where they're enclosed so that the wolves, you know, can come and help themselves to a nice tasty meal. It's an enclosure to keep away the rustlers, those who would be thieves and robbers who try to get in, you know, over the wall, you know, try to hoist a few sheep, you know, take the quick path to a few dollars, not at all concerned about the sheep or their well-being like the shepherd is. They just want the sheep to make a quick buck. And so Jesus makes it very clear, you know, anyone who tries to get at the sheep except through the door is by definition a thief, a robber, a murderer. You don't have to look any further. If they're not using the door to get to the sheep, they don't have a right to the sheep. They have ill in mind. They're out to take advantage of the sheep. And so Jesus is making it clear for us that as the door, as he himself the door, he's the one who protects and who keeps the sheep, who keeps them safe. It's hard to pin down, you know, all of the image that he uses. It's an image that's really foreign to us. He talks about not only the door, but a gatekeeper. Is he both the door and the gatekeeper? Well, we don't have to answer that question, but we need to understand that he's the one who admits the rightful shepherds. if we think about that in the life of the church, you know, Jesus is the one who protects his people. You know, so often, you know, people want to be, you know, self-appointed, you know, shepherds, self-appointed pastors in the church. You know, that's a rampant problem in this day and age. You know, people who think they can just simply say, you know, God's called me, you know, and so you ought to welcome me and accept me as your shepherd, as your pastor. Well, the Bible makes it very clear, that's Jesus' word to us, you know, that there are rules and requirements, you know, in order to be a shepherd. You have to be called by Christ, but you also have to be gifted and equipped by him. Well, who decides that? Do I decide that entirely on my own? Well, in our Reformed churches, we talk about an inward sense of call. You know, God impresses it on a person, on a man's heart, that God has called him into the ministry. But then we talk about the outward call. The church has to be able to see that. The church has to be able to see that a man has gifts, that he has graces to be a pastor, that he's going to be looking out for the well-being of the sheep and not out simply for his own advancement, his own well-being in this world. And so Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door for getting at the sheep. No one gets at them without me giving them permission. His watchful eye, his watchful care is on his flock. And that thought continues back in verse 9 when he says, you know, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In and out and find pasture. See, we've heard that kind of phrase before in the Bible. You know, back in Psalm, you know, 121 at the very end, you know, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will keep your going out and coming in. I think Jesus is referring back to that here in this passage. He's emphasizing again what he said in verse 7, that he himself, you know, is the one who watches over his sheep, who watches over them, whether they're coming into the fold or they're going out of the fold, not as if they're leaving and not be, you know, no longer continuing to be a sheep, but going about their daily business. And we'll talk about that further in just a moment. But as they go in and out, it's under his watchful eye. He provides safety for the flock. He provides security for them. He's the door, you know, who lets them come in, but he's also the door who prevents, you know, those who shouldn't be on the inside in at the flock. Jesus is that door of safety. But he's also the door that gives life. He's not a door that seeks to confine and lock them up and so that they just wither away there in the sheepfold. You know, he talks about them coming in and going out. We need to go about our daily work. You know, when you're part of a family here on earth, you have responsibilities, you know, mom and dad. You know, whether now as adults, we think back to when we were kids, or you who are younger people now, you know, moms and dads, you know, tell you what it is that needs to happen. There are chores that need to be done. They give you, you know, responsibilities to carry out. And so they send you on your way to do those things. You know, when you're little, you know, they might accompany you. They might be with you to show you how to do those. But as you get older, they begin to give you the latitude to go. To go and do what you've been asked to do, whether it's in your own room or whether it's in school or out in the world. You know, you come and you go to do what your parents want, to carry out your responsibilities, and to enjoy life. You know, it's not all about chores, it's also about enjoying life. And so Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See, pastor may not say to you, you know, the good life, but that's what Jesus is talking about. For the sheep, pasture represents the good life. It's green grass. It's a wide open place where there's sun. It's a place where there's relative safety. You don't have to worry about what's lurking in the woods. You can see it clearly, the shepherd's watching over you. And with the green pasture is that quiet water. And so pasture is sort of a code word that I think Jesus is using. It represents everything that's good in life. He goes on, in fact, in verse 10, you know, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Notice that deep contrast there, you know, between the thief, you know, who comes to kill and destroy, and Jesus, who gives life. That's why he came. He came to give life. And to give it abundantly, to give an abundance of life, to give an abundance of forgiveness, to give an abundance of peace, an abundance of grace, an abundance of joy. Every spiritual blessing he gives in abundance. In fact, he tells us in a few verses later that he gives his life to give you life. That abundant life that you can have, that is yours now in Jesus, was bought with the life of Jesus. He lays it down of his own accord, willingly. No one forces him. The Father doesn't force his hand. He willingly gives his life that you might have life. So Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the door to well-being. I am the door to abundant life. I'm the door to everything that your heart longs for. I am the door you need to know, the door you need to enter in through, the door that you need to trust to watch over you for your safety, but the door who has promised to provide for you everything necessary for life and godliness. He says, I have come that you might be saved. I've come to bring you out of condemnation and death. But I've also come to fill you with all the good and wonderful and amazing things that God has for those who belong to Jesus. He gives you all you need to thrive here in this world and in the life to come eternally. Let's pray.